So Megan, you want to talk about the Office of Professional Responsibility?
Sure. So the Office of Professional Responsibility was created in 2003 at the IRS, and they have exclusive responsibility for the discipline and oversight of practitioners before the IRS. And as Ruth noted, the definition of practice before the IRS is pretty broad, but it has been narrowed in a couple of court cases. And I think the most important one to point out here is Loving v. IRS, where they said, look, this isn't really going to apply anymore to just the preparation of returns. And when they talked about return preparers in that case, they meant the people who were just filling in numbers. The case was dealing with people who were filing refund claims, so they were just filling out paperwork to submit to the IRS, and there wasn't a lot of thought process that was going into what they were doing and how they were preparing the form. They didn't have to, like on the Form 990, really delve into the instructions and an interpretation of how and what you're reporting and why. So although there are some narrow exceptions to what practice is, for the most part, if you're dealing with 990s, 4720s, any of those types of things that you're submitting to the IRS, you're probably going to fall under Circular 230. So the Office of Professional Responsibility doesn't normally get involved in a case until the case is over with. So you've already rendered the advice. The transaction has already happened, the data has already been reported, and now you're coming up before OPR because you've either been referred by an agent, so an examination agent has looked at a scenario and they've said, you know, there was some advice that was given here to the organization that was really inappropriate, and there were things that were done by their accountant, their attorney, whomever, that was not acceptable, and so they'll make a referral over to OPR. You could also have state bars making referrals. And then you can have clients actually make referrals as well. So sometimes when you start looking into professional liability and other things, if somebody is unhappy with the job you've done, not only can they refer you over to your state board, they sometimes make referrals directly to the Office of Professional Responsibility. So OPR will get involved in that context after the transaction's already done.
And disgruntled employees. How many times is the issue of the referral made by a disgruntled employee?
Yeah, and I think, you know, what's important to note here too is if you have a question about whether or not something that you're doing is correct within the OPR rules, you can't go into them and request a private letter ruling. You can't say, here are the facts, can you give me a written opinion? But you can call them and have an informal discussion in order to touch base and see what their opinions are on it. And we do give at the end of the presentation the contact information for OPR. So there are a number of things that lead to people getting into trouble with OPR, and I think some of the most important ones, fraudulent forms 2848, so your power of attorney. If you've got a power of attorney and it has only given you the ability to advise on a Form 1023 and now all of a sudden you want to advise on a 990, going in and just handwriting in what that is and not having the client relook at it, not having people re-sign it, those are issues that OPR can get involved in, especially if down the road the client becomes unhappy with you and what you've done. They can make the referral in that there was a fraudulently filed 2848. Additionally, stalling and delaying in an examination, and that goes beyond just kind of, you know, zealous representation of your client, or we need a reasonable amount of time to produce documents to an agent in response to an issue request. It's we're really trying to slow walk this thing on purpose, and we're trying to make the statute of limitations run. That can be a problem. Threatening or abusing agents is an issue. Actually, 40%. If you make a real threat to an agent, the Treasury Inspector General's office will become involved, and it can turn into a criminal issue. 40% of their Office of Investigations work is derived from threats made to agents. And I know many practitioners say, oh, no, I'd never do that. There are a lot of cases that have been reported in TIGDA's annual reports that come directly from attorneys, CPAs, and other representatives of organizations, including things as egregious as pointing guns at agents. So just note that can get you in a lot of trouble. Probably not a good idea.
And when you are under audit, when you as an organization, for you in-house people, are under audit, you should think carefully about who the employees are that you have dealing with the IRS agents and their ability to keep their cool, perhaps, when an agent is maybe overly aggressive or obnoxious or underinformed. I mean, the interactions there matter.
Well, and I will say, you know, this goes two ways with the referrals to TIGDA. TIGDA will look at threats that representatives have made to agents. TIGDA will also look at inappropriate behavior by agents to organizations. So if you get into a situation where an agent is coming in and making threats or really behaving inappropriately, there are also places to go to make those referrals for them. And then I think the last place that's a common violation that people do not necessarily think of is you are required to have filed your own tax returns and to be current on your tax responsibilities. And if you are a partner at a firm and you are in charge of making sure that your firm has filed its returns and has paid its employment taxes, that is something you are also supposed to be current on. So if you are not, OPR can come in and look at that. And that's actually a frequent reason that they get involved in cases. And you know, one of the interesting things that I've learned from people over in that office is that they do have a system where they cross-reference your P10 number. If you have a preparer identification number, a P10, they will cross-reference that on a regular basis to do data analytics and see if you're filing your own returns. And if you're not, you may get a letter from OPR. So that can be an area where people are diligent about remembering to file stuff for their clients, but don't always remember to take care of things for themselves.